Now we hear from the New Testament scriptures, from Paul's letter to the Romans, from chapter 12, reading at verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading and hearing of his word.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we ask for your voice to reach the depths of our being at this time, as we pause in silence before your word, that we might know better your will for our lives, but that also we might know you better as our Heavenly Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the middle of a major project at the moment, folks. My study is in the process of being IKEA. I decided that things had really got to a desperate state and that something had to be done. So I was dispatched to IKEA to buy new shelves. I'd like to say that I've put them all up myself. quite managed that. But all is not complete at the moment. It's a work in progress. I'm thinking about having an open day, you know. when it's all finished, you can come and admire all the orders that there now is in the midst of chaos. I was getting to the stage where I was just going to have to work out the garden with the books and papers that were piling up. But it's amazing, you know, when you're sifting through the detritus of the years, you come across things that you thought you'd lost, and you come across a lot of things that you could do without. And now and again, you come across a wee gem that perhaps you'd forgotten about completely. And there was one book which meant an awful lot to me at one time. It was written by David Watson, who was an Anglican minister who sadly died a very untimely death of cancer some years ago. But he once wrote a book called I Believe in the Church. And in this book, he explores all the different images that you can find in the Bible to describe the church, the people of God. Churches like the building, you know, the people of God as a temple, the people of God as the bride of Christ, as the army of God. But I think the most profound chapter in the book, and the one that made the most impression on me, was the one that dealt with the church as the body of Christ here on earth. And it's this theme that we want to explore throughout these Lenten services, the church as the body of Christ here on earth. What that means, the implications of that for each and every one of us. I think to start off with, just to remember how our bodies function for us, it's through our bodies that we are present to one another in the world. We're recognisably ourselves because of our body. And if you think that it's through the church, not the building particularly, but the people of God, it's through us that Christ is present to the world, then that takes on enormous significance. There's a great depth there, and there's a great responsibility. So we're going to be exploring that. And hopefully, as the Apostle James says, the process will be like looking in a mirror. You know, James speaks about the Word of God as being like looking in a mirror, and we can see the things that need to be changed. We can see the things that need to be altered so that we can go forward with a better image of Christ in us. So let's pray that as we look at this, there will be change, and we will aspire to the qualities that this great image of the body of Christ lays upon us. A particular passage that we're looking at today, you can probably do a series on that alone. I just want to take three very strong imperatives from this. Remember, we're thinking about the people of God as the body of Christ. And I think one thing that comes out very clearly from this is the idea of the people of God as a people who cooperate. You know, if you read verses 4 and 5, Paul says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are different people. We have different gifts, but it all amounts to nothing unless, as a people together, we learn to cooperate. I think that was a message that was discovered very early on in the history of the church. Remember when the apostles were trying to do everything, when they were responsible for the preaching and the teaching and also the prayer life of the church, and found that the social work of the church was being neglected. People were being left out in the daily distribution of food. And so seven men were chosen to make sure that all the needs of the people of God at that time were met. It's not that the apostles regarded the social work of the church as beneath them. It's not that the seven deacons regarded themselves as second-class citizens. It was that together, with their particular gifts and particular strengths, they were going to carry the church forward as the body of Christ here on earth. I think maybe you could change the image. You know, Paul didn't know anything about engines, but you know, you think of all the different parts of a car engine which need to be working properly together in order to pull the car forward. That's the way the church has to work, a people who cooperate. I remember not long after we came here to Mulcahy, I think it was Stephen, was only about 3 years of age, and I took him up to the shop after a Sunday service, and he wanted a drink, and I bought him a drink, and he asked for two straws. So we got two straws. I said, why do you want two straws? I said, well, I'll put my straw at one end of the drink, you put your straw at the other end of the drink, and we'll drink together. He says, that's what you call cooperation. And I was like, staying after his daddy and using all these big words. But apparently in Sesame Street there was a song called Cooperation, you know, and he picked that up. But that certainly has to be the watchword of a people who regard themselves as the body of Christ. Cooperation. But we're also a people with gifts, and that comes out very strongly in the passage that we've just read. Paul says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. A man's gift is prophesying. Let him use it in proportion to his faith. And so on. Paul mentions other gifts. Now, this is not an exhaustive list that Paul's giving us here. If you read elsewhere in his letters, there are other gifts. You know, the gift of administration, for instance. You know, that comes out in one passage. And, you know, I think the message of this is that there are so many different gifts, and some of them won't be listed in the scriptures. But what we have to grasp is that each and every one of us have spiritual gifts which, when we use them, strengthen the body of Christ and build up the body of Christ here on earth. We know what happens when parts of our bodies aren't used. You know, if we don't exercise our muscles, then they grow flabby, they grow weak. It happens with other areas in our physiology. We're given body parts that they might be used. And it's the same with the gifts that God gives us to strengthen his church. They have to be used. Now, you may think to yourself, well, you know, if we have gifts, how can we stop using them? You know, maybe that's a subject for another time. But let's just grasp this principle today. That if we are given gifts, personal gifts, they have to be used for the building up of the church. I had some bad news just during the week there. My father's last surviving close friend, has died at the age of 93, and I have to conduct the funeral on Monday. John Kennedy was a session clerk in my home church, and he was a remarkable man in many ways. He was involved in, he was a JP, he was involved in local politics, and he had an astonishing gift for encouragement. You know, I remember as a teenager and as a young man, you know, just these times when John would kind of sidle up to you on a Sunday. He seemed to know maybe if there was something troubling you, something that was lacking somewhere. And he was quite a small fella, you know, the hand would go on the shoulder and the voice would speak into your ear, you know, and you received a great deal of encouragement from that. I think, you know, even as a youngster, being recognised by such an eminent man was an encouragement in itself, but a tremendous gift of knowing exactly what to say at exactly the right time. These are the things that make a great difference within the church, and it's good to recognise these crucial things. I remember somebody, now not with us, but a member of St Paul's, once saying to me, people seem to find it awful easy to talk to me. Yeah, that's a tremendous gift as well, being able to listen, to give yourself entirely to someone who might be in need of a sympathetic ear. And all of it, if it's done for the glory of Christ, strengthens the church. So we have to be, as well as a people who cooperate, we have to be a people who have gifts. And perhaps crucially, and maybe this is the most important thing of all, we have to be a people who love. Paul says in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And then I think what follows in that chapter is basically Paul unpacking what it means to be a people who love one another. You know, some of us, whenever we're asked how we are, we respond by saying, well, I'm hanging together, you know. Very often feels like that, doesn't it? And it just struck me that the church hangs together with love. You know, what is it that makes all of these different body parts, this mind and this soul, what is it that makes it adhere, what makes it cooperate? It's the breath that we have in our bodies. It's the breath of life, the spark of life, whatever you want to call it. And what enables the church to adhere, to cling together, is our love for one another. Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. You know, this is the big challenge, isn't it? To regard other people as more important than yourself. I was reading just in my own devotions the other day the story of Jesus' disciples coming to the Lord, and James and John asking if they could sit at either side of Jesus when his kingdom came in. And all the other disciples are outraged, you know, cheeky them, asking for the best places. But that response shows that they were pretty keen to have the best places in the kingdom. And what is it Jesus says to them? Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you have to learn to be a servant. That's how we measure greatness in the kingdom of God. We measure greatness by the extent to which we are prepared to serve other people. And you know, friends, when the veil is drawn back at the end of all things, I think we'll be astonished at the people who are more greatly honoured in heaven. Folk that quietly, perhaps, just beaver away doing good for other people. I talked to someone the other day, not a member of St. Paul's, who spent a lot of his early retirement looking after aged parents who are now dead. And now he finds that there are other relatives in his family who are getting on in years, and still he's looking after them. I know that this person had a lot of projects planned for his retirement, things that he was wanting to do for himself. But from that time, all he's been doing basically is serving other people. And I think that that's an astonishing tribute to him, and something that may not be rewarded here on earth, but there is a place where service like that is honoured. So there we are, folks, to start us off on this journey in which we're examining the body of Christ. We're called to be a people who cooperate, people who exercise gifts, and a people who love and serve one another. Praise God for the opportunity to realise all of this in our own congregational life. Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to you that you've called us to be your people, and that we have an individual role to play, each one of us, in building up your body here on earth. We pray especially that you would enable us to exercise the love which holds everything together and enables us to reflect the true character of Christ. And as we think of the needs of others, we would especially remember those who have been affected by the train crash, which was a great shock to us when we heard of it last night. We pray for the injured. We pray for the bereaved. And we ask, Lord, that all those affected will find the strength that they need to go forward. And we remember the police officers, the firefighters, the paramedics and doctors who are involved in the rescue work. We pray that they will be sustained through it all and given the strength and the compassion that they need. And bless any that we know at this time who are sick or in any way in need